Welcome to This Is That, where the Word of God comes to life. Here, we take on everyday questions faced by believers and converts, and we dig through the Word of God where similar situations have occurred, and we break it down on how these Bible principles and doctrines can be applied in our daily life situations. And it is our intention and prayer that this fellowship will encourage your faith and strengthen your walk with God. And as our commitment to advance God's kingdom to every culture and nation, we appreciate it very much if you would hit that like button and to share and to subscribe to our channel. This is That, moving the apostolic on your favorite podcast and on YouTube, Call to Ministry. This is That segment. And every time you click on the like button, the more we get advertised out there. And the more we get advertised, the more we are able to reach people. And so before we start, just a couple of shout-outs to our friends at the Uplift Podcast with Brother Nathan Beeler, the Steadfast Devotion Podcast with Brother Trey and Brother Calvin, and to the Search for Truth Podcast with Pastor Young. And so, without much ado, let's get to the table with your host, and let's get digging.
Praise God. Welcome to another episode of This Is That. And tonight, we have a special guest with us. It is a special brother, and I love my brother. I remember the first time coming to here, Wichita, and I saw you on the platform. You were the one there singing. It was a big choir before then.
Yes, that's right.
And I love it, because where I came from, we have choir, but all are women. There's not much men. Because men would rather sit down over there, and they would say, oh, you go, you go. That's the culture I grew up in. Men would just stay here, and then would say they would order the women to go. So most of the ones that go door knocking, most of the ones that the minister are women. So it was a great sight. There's a couple of weeks we've been talking about how we move forward, and there are things that prevent us from moving forward, like pride, jealousy, and if we have those in our hearts, then we're not going to be able to move forward. And my brother and I talked about it last time, that these are going to be shackles. These are going to be like chains that chain us to where we are. If we have hatred in our heart instead of moving forward, then we're going to be chained to that bitterness in our heart, and God's not going to move in our hearts. Mm-hmm. But tonight, we're going to talk a little bit more on the positive side, and that is, we're going to talk that if we want to move forward, we have got to have the heart of a servant.
Yes.
I'm going to start with this verse. Matthew chapter 20, verse 20. When Jesus and his disciples were talking, the mother of James and John went to Jesus and said, Jesus, can I request something? And Jesus would say, what do you want to request? And the mother of John and James would say, when you ascend into heaven, I want my two sons to be on your right hand and my other on your left.
Mm-hmm.
And what Jesus said, woman,
you don't know what you're asking.
You don't know what you're asking. Can you drink of the cup that I'm drinking? Yes, we can. Can you eat of the food that I'm eating? Yes, you can. Sure, you can. But to put you on the right hand, on the left hand, is not for me to give. And when he said that, after he said that, he turned to his other disciples and said, well, if you want to be here, you have to start here.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
We have to have the heart of being servant, servanthood. True leadership is not being the boss right away, but true leadership starts at the bottom. Take the example of Jesus. Take the example of God. The Son of Man did not come here to earth to be ministered to. He did not come here to say, well, I'm your boss. Come give me all the things that I need. But he came here. He came to our sinful flesh, to our level. Think about it. A God that is on high, on heaven, came down to earth to lowly people like us, to serve us. To do what? Wash our feet.
Yeah.
Mm. Wash the dirt of our feet. He's a great example of true leadership.
Well, I got Philippians 2, 5, verses 5 through 7. It says, let this mind be in you, which also in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
Who being the form of God,
yes,
thought it not robbery to be equal with God.
Amen.
But made himself of no reputation. And took upon him the form of a servant.
Yes.
And was made in the likeness of men.
Amen.
That's good.
That's awesome. And if we continue to read that further, he said, and being found in fashion as man, he humbled himself. A God humbling himself.
Hmm.
To do what? He became obedient even unto death and even unto the cross. And when he did that, because of his obedience, verse 9 even said, wherefore God also has highly exalted him and given him a name that is above all names. That at the name of Jesus.
That's Brother Scott's candy stick scripture. He goes to that one over and over.
Every knee will bow and every tongue shall confess. I read a book from one of the pastors in an apostolic movement. And his book titles, Follow to Lead. And in his book, he mentions, if you want to lead, you better start to follow. Mm. Follow who? Follow the only great example we have. Yeah. Follow the footsteps of Christ.
Paul said, you know, follow me while I follow him.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. There's this notion that when you get out of the, when you have your license, I want to say, if you get your license to preach, like there's a lot of people that would say, huh, I'm going to have a big church. It might be one day, but we have to start at the bottom. We have to start door knocking. Mm-hmm. We have to start putting on the word of God. And when God sees our commitment, God's going to honor that. And it's going to give us greater fields to work on. Growing up, this is what they taught us, that the Great Commission is only for the apostles.
Yeah.
It's not only for the apostles. The Great Commission was not given to the apostles. Yes, it might have been God, Jesus, speaking to them directly, but that commission didn't stop with them. It continued on with us. So us, we have part in that Great Commission. We are all called to minister. We are all called to go and preach the gospel. We are all called to be servants to the Most High. See, living for God is giving. If we don't have the heart to give, just like what our Father is, then we are not walking. We're not following the footsteps of God. And so those who desire to be great in the kingdom of God must be servant. Matthew chapter 20, verse 26, but it shall not be among you, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give life as ransom for many. So if we say that we are followers of Christ, Christians, they say, I am a Christian. But do we really know what the meaning of Christian is? Yes. Christian means follower of Christ. And if we say and we commit that we are Christians, then we need to follow Christ. Follow in his footsteps. Learn to serve. Have the heart of being a servant.
That's very powerful. Like it says, I'm gonna take us to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 24-25. It says, and the servant of the Lord must not strive.
Yes.
But be gentle unto all men.
Yes.
Opt to teach patient in meekness, instructing those that opposing themselves.
That's right.
If God peradventure will give them repentance to the knowledge of the truth.
Mm.
It's easy to say that I'm a man of God, I'm a child of God, but I'm doing my own thing. I'm running on my own time.
That is true.
But God is saying, you got to go on my time.
Right.
And my time ain't going to give up on nobody.
Uh-uh.
So we're going to show patience even on that sinner that looked like everybody done gave up on them.
That's
but God is like,
That's right.
Because we're not here to glorify ourselves.
That's true.
We're here to glorify God.
That's right.
That's right.
You know, and no matter what ministry you might be in, because we are all called to be men, we are all called in a ministry.
Yes, that's right.
But the whole point, people, and some people might get lifted up in themselves. It might be pride, might be arrogant, might be their ego.
Yeah.
Because the moment that you sign into God's ministry, you have to lower yourself because now you are under the umbrella of the Almighty God.
That's right.
And in this generation, they don't want to lower themselves. Mm-hmm. They want to be higher. Mm-hmm. They want to live their own lives.
Yes.
But not knowing that you're only going to be safe from the wickedness of this world if you are under God's umbrella.
That's right.
And be a servant to God.
That's right.
Because if you're not a servant to God, you're a slave. Like it says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9. But you are a chosen generation.
Yes.
A royal priesthood.
Amen.
A holy nation. A peculiar people. That you should show forth the praise of him who has called you out of darkness into this marvelous light.
Amen.
He has called us out.
That's right.
Laborers into this harvest.
That's right.
But it's a blessing.
Yes.
It's a blessing to be a servant
That's right.
to God.
Amen. That's so true.
Absolutely.
And we have to, I love it when you said, but we have to put in our heart that we're not working for ourselves.
Yeah.
We're not working to uplift this kingdom, this one, but we're working for one.
Mm.
One master. We all have one master, one Lord, one Savior. And his name is Jesus.
Jesus.
It's not me.
Not
his
me.
Name is not Burr Oscar.
Agreed.
His name is Jesus.
Agreed.
I serve God. I didn't serve this one.
Yes.
And so we're not working for ourselves. We're working for the kingdom. And if we put that in our mind that we're not serving ourselves, then it is easier to serve.
Yes. And it's a powerful move of God when it says, God said, you have become a new creation.
That's right.
That new creature is the Christ that lives inside of us.
That's right.
And that's the power of God. If we could actually deny ourselves and just like kill yourself.
Yes.
And allow the glory of God to move through you. The servant of God is just being willing to help those who is in need.
That's
yes.
right.
Absolutely.
You know,
those
yeah.
that can't help themselves.
Yeah.
That's right.
Like our
right.
bus ministry.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
I couldn't agree
yeah.
more.
You know?
Let us be the hands and the feet of Jesus here.
Not the mind.
That's
Let him
right.
decide.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, for real.
Yeah.
Like, what does the Bible say? Like, our understanding?
Your
is,
ways are not, you know, my ways are above your ways.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah,
yeah.
and
yeah,
my thoughts are above
your
thoughts,
yes.
saith
yes.
the Lord.
And
yeah.
that's right. Because we have these little feeble yeah. thoughts. Okay, now if I can just start with this, and God is like, wait a minute. I need to save just not this little town.
Yeah.
I need to get to this whole state.
That's
I need to get to this nation.
That's right.
You know, and that's the power of God. If we surrender yeah. ourselves to God
that's
and be
right.
like, God, and you know, it's kind of one of them things where some people be like, well, you know, that ain't my ministry. That ain't what I'm called to do.
Mm-mm.
I know somebody asked me to do it, but I don't feel like God asked me
Mm-mm.
to go there.
Mm-mm.
And God is like, dude, who are you working for?
That's right. That's true.
Who are you to say what you're going to do? You know
yeah.
what I mean? And then they go into the ministry and they wonder why I would. Next thing you know, they want to change because
right.
they're not feeling it. Well, they're like, well, God is like, man, I'm up here trying to prepare you.
right.
Your thoughts ain't my thoughts,
That's
buddy.
Right, right.
I need you to just be willing to serve
That's
in
right.
my kingdom.
That's true. That's true.
I was thinking when you were talking about perspective, right?
Yeah.
If you can imagine what it looks like from above, we're here down on the
mm-hmm.
ground, and
yeah.
God is
mm-hmm.
way above us, and he sees, you know, 1,000 yards out where we see, you know, 6 inches there
yeah.
in front of
yeah.
us. And so he can see, you know, even for our own good and others, right,
yeah.
that maybe what we want is,
yeah.
is not what he needs. For
yeah.
our own good.
Yeah.
That's right.
I remember Brother Jesse, he took me on an airplane. We went to Dodge City to
man,
reach. And Brother Jesse, I love Brother Jesse Campbell, man.
I love you, man.
For real. But he was like, and Jesse, he'll come up with it. He'll get an anointing so quick. He'll be like, Brother Nate, look down. Tell me what you see. And he started talking about, just imagine how we, because, you know, sometimes when we're so, like right now,
yeah.
we're in it.
Yeah.
And we was up above it
mm-hmm.
and see how like it's just, that's what God
that's
sees.
Right. Yes,
that's right.
You know, and our problems.
That's right.
Sometimes
that's
our problem
small.
Looks so big,
yeah.
but from God's eyes, it's just
so small.
So small.
Yeah, we make it big.
Yeah.
yes.
Yeah.
Because we concerned about ourselves, but
we don't trust.
That's right.
Yeah.
You know, we stop trusting that he'll be there to pick up whatever pieces are there.
That's
yeah.
right. That's right. And while we're at the subject of servanthood, let's talk about ministry, to minister. When we say minister, it's not like minister, the one in the pulpit.
That's right.
Minister, the word minister in its original form is to serve, being a servant.
Mm-hmm.
So if we say you're a minister, then I'm just saying, in another word, say you're a servant. If you're a minister, you're the one serving. You are the servant of the Most High. So let it be clear that when we minister, we serve.
Mm-hmm. That's what in the Bible it says, preachers are servants.
Yes.
And in Matthew 23:11 it says, but he that is greatest among you
yes.
shall be your servant.
That's That's
and
right.
whosoever shall exalt himself mm-hmm. shall be abased. I yes. mean, don't put your yeah. don't exalt yourself. And it also says, and he that shall be humbled himself shall be exalted.
Amen.
You know, to me, when I say this, it's like if you can learn how to humble yourself
yeah.
and be a servant,
yeah.
it seems like you reap more of a blessing.
Yes.
Because you're not out there trying to be like, well, somebody should serve me, and somebody yeah. trying to be so exalted yeah. because what happened is when God put you in your place,
yeah.
your feelings get hurt,
that's right.
and you feel a certain type of way.
That's right.
You know what I mean?
That's right.
And sometimes it's good for you to be humble just because it lets you know, like, everything that I've got is only mm-hmm. by the grace mm-hmm. of God.
That's right.
You know?
If you start at the bottom,
yeah.
there's no way but up.
Yeah.
But if you choose the top, better stay on the top,
yeah,
because there's a long way down.
Yeah, yeah, see, the thing is, when you're on the bottom, one thing you do is just like, one day,
yes. I'm gonna get
up. But see, when you're on the top, you think, man, I do not want
to fall. That's right.
I don't know. The chapter and verse talks about be careful where you sit, right?
Yes.
Sit at the lower table, right?
That's right.
Yeah. And you know, because if you sit at the head table and mm-hmm. then you don't belong there yeah. and you get moved,
yeah.
everybody sees that.
Yes, yeah. right?
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. But if you sit at the lower table mm-hmm. and your master sees that, well, that's not where you're supposed to be.
Right.
He'll move you up. And yeah. then everybody sees yeah. you are elevated, but yes. start with the right attitude.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. Yeah,
for real.
That is awesome. That is so true. That is so true. And What is the reward of being a servant?
I think that knowledge of the supernatural is sometimes the reward of being a servant. The reason I say that is John 2, right, where the first miracle that God
yes.
God had. On the third day, there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto them, they have no wine. And Jesus said unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Mm. And there were set there six water pots of stone after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing two or three firkins apiece. And Jesus said unto them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them to the brim. And he said unto them, draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast, and they bare it. And the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was. And this is the point I was getting to. But the servants which drew the water knew. So they had knowledge of the supernatural. They had an active
That's
part
right.
because
That's right.
they were a servant.
That's right.
Because yeah. they listened to what they were
That's
told
right.
to do, and they followed through with it.
That's right.
They got to see the miracle in action.
Yeah. That's right.
The governor thought, okay, well, here, this is just great. This is yeah. wonderful. But
mm-hmm.
but the servants had intimate knowledge That's of true. What had actually
That's
just
right.
happened.
That's
that
right.
Awesome.
So,
That's right.
So I think knowledge of the supernatural comes yes. in. And Brother Nate, you said the other thing that I thought when I heard this question last night, it's protection.
Yeah.
Right. If you don't mind, I was just going
to
share just a quick story about protection, you know, being a servant.
Yeah.
We were in church. This is a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. And there was we were about to leave. The church was over. We were headed home.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a lady that came out, and she needed something, and she wanted to stop and talk. We were in a bit of a hurry, and we're like, no, we're gonna sit here and listen to her, and we're gonna work out whatever it is.
Yeah.
And so we did that, and we got in the car, and my wife was driving, and we said, okay, you know, off we're going. We'll get there. And then I just noticed my wife was driving slower and slower, and I'm like, why in the world? In my mind, we're talking to each other, but she's just driving slower and slower, and I'm like, I'm about to say, why are you driving so slow?
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden we look up, and there's this massive, massive crash that had just happened. It had to be 3 or 4 or 5 minutes before.
Mm, wow.
And a car had come across the lane and hit the car in front of us head on.
Wow.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And if we hadn't had to stop and listen to the lady that needed something
yeah,
to take care of,
right.
and if my wife hadn't just listened to, you know, hey, take your foot off the gas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we would have been there. We would have been up there.
Yeah.
But being a servant means that
yes.
you listen.
Yes.
Right? So
yeah.
you have your ear tuned
yeah.
to what God has
That's
to tell
right.
you.
Yeah.
And so
yes.
what she doesn't understand why, but yeah, okay, I'll take my foot off
yeah.
the gas. Or yeah,
yeah,
we'll listen
yeah.
to this lady.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so that's where I think the two things that I got when I saw your question, Brother Oscar, was knowledge of the supernatural and protection.
Man, that is awesome.
Yeah.
That is awesome. That is so true. To give another view of that, I grew up in a place where we love to cook. We love to eat, my brother. Praise God. We love to eat.
I think I'm in the right place.
Yes. And if you want to eat the best parts, mm-hmm. go where the cook is.
Yes.
And he will share with you, hey, this is some of the food. They always say, if we butcher a whole pig, he will set aside the best parts for them. And so if you want to go to the best parts, go to them. Just like with Jesus. If you want the best part, get close to God. Be a servant. That's where the anointing flows. That's where the blessings flow.
Man, bro, that is awesome.
God is good.
Absolutely.
Mm. Man, you guys, just breaking off what you said, when you said that was like a revelation. You know, many people, they always, in their ministry especially, want to know, you know, how can I get to the supernatural?
Mm-hmm.
How can I tap into this healing powers? How can I see the miracles and the breakthroughs? You just said it.
Yeah.
You got to get close.
You got to get in the nuts and bolts.
Yeah.
That's right.
You're going to have to get deep.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's why it's good to just sell out everything.
Yes.
It's almost like what you would call your life goal, like a job. Like, you know, some people want to be doctors, lawyers. You got to make a decision. I want to be a Christian.
Amen.
Yeah.
No matter what. When I'm not going to be a Christian just when I'm at church.
Yeah.
I'm going to be a Christian all day, every day.
That's right.
It's almost like you're going to be apostolic.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because you think about it, that's when the servitude come into it.
That's right.
And being a servant of God and having the heart of a servant when I go to work,
mm-hmm.
like people know me as like, oh, that's brother, that's Nate, that's the God fear man.
Yeah.
You know, watch what you say. Don't try to cuss around.
Yeah.
Man. I'm good. It ain't like I didn't heard it before. It ain't like I did it before. You know what I mean? At the same time, it's like when they really in need of something. When they in need of prayer,
mm-hmm. that's who they're talking.
They come to me. Yes. And guess what? I'm a servant of God. I must pray for you. It would hurt my. I don't know what would come over me if somebody said, "Would you pray for me?" Well, you know, I got something to do. Matter of fact, I'd be quick to stop what I'm doing and say, "You want me to pray?"
Yeah, man. I've been waiting for this.
Sorry, boss. I'll be right back.
Thank you for real.
But you know, but it's my servant. That's what I'm commissioned to God to do.
Right. That's right.
And that's the servitude of a man and woman of God to be able to not hold yourself and not to limit yourself.
Amen.
Because God is like, I want to move
yes.
here.
Yes.
You are not working for yourself.
Yes.
You are working for me.
Yes.
And I need you to know that who you working for.
That's right.
You know what I mean? Do you want to see the water turn into wine?
Yes.
You better start praying.
Yes.
You start pouring.
Yeah, you start pouring. You know what I mean? You want to see miracles and healings?
That's right.
You better pour it out.
That's right.
You know what I mean?
Follow
you want to
Christ.
See? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? It all matters of realizing that being a servant, having that servant heart,
is
about the breakthrough that God is wanting to do.
Because
you're doing the will of God.
Yes.
If we can get more servants of God, we'll see more miracles of God.
That's
and if we can get more laborers in the harvest, because that's a servant.
Yeah.
A servant is just not a person to serve, person that works.
That's right. That's true.
A person is just working.
Amen.
Absolutely.
Amen. And this is a revelation that God spoken to me. Sometimes ministers get tired. We get tired. We're humans. We mm-hmm. get tired. We get frustrated. But how do we get our strength back? Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. It says, they that wait upon the Lord. They that wait. That word wait is not the ones that come in and that like the waiter in the restaurant. They that serve upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not get weary. And they shall walk and they shall not faint.
Amen.
If you're losing strength, start serving.
Mm.
If you feel like you're down, if you feel like you're losing a grip of your salvation, start serving. And God is going to renew your strength. And to go to Peter, the bold one, saying, Lord, we left everything. What is our reward?
Mm.
He was asking God. It's like, what is my reward for following you? Matthew chapter 19, verse 27. He would say, then Peter said unto him, behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? And Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that you which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, you, talking about the 12, you shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And this is for us. And everyone that has forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or land for my name's sake, shall receive 100-fold and shall inherit eternal life. That is the reward of serving Christ.
That's awesome.
We're going to see God in his glory. Mm.
Praise God.
Praise God. So good. So good.
And so, my brother Nate, how did it start with you serving Christ?
Serving God. Man, it started really on me on the verge of almost losing everything. Mm. I remember it because I was at a place where everything I had was getting taken away. Mm-hmm. I had a best friend. They left. I lost my job that I was at for 9 years. And I was going to church, and something was on me like, okay, now it's time to start, you know, getting into a ministry. And I was mm-hmm. getting ready to start door knocking
right.
with Pastor Foresight. And right before, I think I went to a couple of them, and it was like I had to take a weekend off because I had to think about my situation. And so I had a dog and we used to go walk it. And I used to talk to God, and God was preparing me for the things that I was going to go through. And I remember talking to God, and God was telling me, God was asking me, like, what are you going to do mm-hmm. when you lose everything? And my thing was, I used to smoke, I used to drink, mm-hmm. and I was just kind of just out there on the street.
Yeah.
And I told God I was going to do that kind of deal. And God was like, well, why not, you know, trust me, be with me. And I said, well, I'm going to trust that you're going to be out there on the streets with me.
Right.
And he said, that's not enough. He said, well, why don't you just trust me completely? And so I said, okay, God, what do you want me to do? And God said, I need you to start praising me. Mm. And when he said that, I was known for just standing in the pew, got a good two-step and just good clap. Get up in my pews with a good clap, you know. Then after that, I went to the church, and it was even hard to stand up. It was hard to clap, but I ended up breaking out. It was a spirit that was really trying to hover over me, trying to stop me from this breakthrough. And I ended up breaking through. I lost everything, but I gained what the devil thought that he had. And because of my obedience to God, and because I was willing, and so I started to go with the visitation, mm-hmm. and to me, visitation is a servant.
Yes, you know absolutely. What I mean?
That's what started my ministry. Yeah. Was knocking doors with Pastor Foresight.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And so I started to do that, and next thing you know, it kind of escalated from doing that Sunday school.
Yeah.
Then I was doing the bus and the Bible study. Yes. You know, and things just kind of escalated from there. But it started with God telling me. Being obedient to God, being a servant mm-hmm. to the word of God, because we got to know that we got to follow God's word. God's got a plan.
Amen.
If I wouldn't have never followed what God said,
right.
That's what I think about so much in my mind, you know, because if I would have said, all right, God, but I'm still going to go out and just, I'm going through some rough times.
Mm-hmm.
I want to still go out here and I'm going to drink a bottle. I'm still going to buy a bag of weed or something.
Right.
You know what I mean? But instead, I went ahead and trusted God. And through that, it got my life in a place right now to where it is remarkable.
Yeah.
And, like, I love, like, serving the kids. We got teen outreach. We
yes.
got Sunday school. We got, absolutely. You know, everything of that nature is, like, and you don't know how much you care for people unless you step into it.
That's so true.
You cannot say, well, that ain't my ministry. Because for me, mm-hmm. I know what my options was. My options was either I'm going to be out here in the streets where I mm-hmm. didn't want to go,
mm-hmm.
but it was, to me, the only option that I had
mm-hmm.
until God gave me another option,
mm-hmm.
said, work for me.
Yes.
I decided to work for Christ.
Praise God.
And by working through for Christ, I mean, no matter, and I'm not saying it's not rough times, but because of the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
That's one of the like insurance policies of being a servant yes. of God. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Because he said, okay, you're working for me now. I'm gonna give you this awesome helpmate.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you the comforter.
Amen.
I'm going to give you this to be with you at all times. Make sure you stay in line.
Amen.
Make sure you're doing my work right. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And because of that, it's like, no matter what I go through, it's hardships. Mm-hmm. It's ups and downs. It's mountains. It's valleys.
Yes.
But God has given me the strength.
Amen.
And through hard times, he has shown me he is there.
Yes.
And it's like, it's nothing more like knowing that if you go to work and the boss is just sitting up there pointing his fingers, mm-hmm. telling you what mm-hmm. to do. Mm-hmm. But it's in the hardships to know that God is right here Amen. With me and he's working. And he's like, don't worry, we're going to do this together.
Amen.
And that's the most blessedest thing of my life, to know that God is with me. I can go through anything because yes. I know God is with me through
Amen.
All.
Amen. Thank awesome. You for sharing that, my brother. And there, a lot of you may have some similar situation in your life that you say, my life is a wreck. I don't know where to start. Start serving God. And when you do that, when God sees your dedication, when God sees your heart serving him, he's going to bless you. The key to getting a blessing is start serving God. Start saying, God, Lord, I may not have everything, but I want to serve you. And when you start to do that, God sees your heart, your commitment. He's going to bless you. Beyond your imagination.
That's right, man.
Look at where we are.
Absolutely.
Grace. By his grace, we're able to come here and share the word with you.
Amen.
And so you might want to be wondering, who is the handsome guy in between Bernard and I?
Well, making us look bad.
Yeah, I don't think so. I'm just the sidekick to be named
oh,
later.
Oh, man. You're not. He's, I'm going to tell you guys, he's one of the hardworking man in our church.
Amen.
We do a visitation every Saturday at church. And along with that visitation, the church prepares bags of goodies. And my brother and his family is one of those who are faithful that go to church and make sure that every kid that we knock on the doors have these little goodies. And to introduce my brother, our brother is, we're a carpenter. And I'm not going to take anything, but I'm going to let him say his testimony. And how did you start with ministry?
Thank you, Brother Oscar. I appreciate that. I feel like I want to jump back to because I felt like I had a chance to go into ministry and I neglected it. And I just want to make up for lost time. So if I could just share, I was raised in an apostolic home. I'm fourth generation Pentecost. In fact, my grandmother had a license to preach. Mm. And I did not even know from the UPC, and I did not even know it until she passed away. Her testimony, she went to a church with a younger minister, and she just thought that it was the right thing to do. It seemed like after seeing, she didn't want to cause a controversy. So mm-hmm. she served in that church. She took a spot. She was a prayer warrior, and she was an example to mm-hmm. many of the people that were there. But as a child with my mom and dad, I was on the pew every day that the church was open. But it really wasn't my choice, right? It was my parents' mm-hmm. choice. Mm-hmm. And if I had to describe my relationship with God at that time, it would be a roller coaster, right? Mm-hmm. Because I mean, God is good and things are going and I feel the power of God. And then I would leave and down I would go. So up and down. And so during this time that in the space of say 6 months, there were two traveling ministers that came to our church. And actually both of these gentlemen are preaching still today, but they came to me and pulled me aside, and they had a similar message that a call of God was on my life. Mm. And both of them gave me very specific things that I was supposed to do. Of course, this terrified me. I'm like, this is not what I want to do. This is not how I see my life going. And I said, you know, there's so many things out there that I haven't got a chance to do. Mm-hmm. I really... Those are the things I want to do. I, if I go here, I have to do what you're talking about. I have to sell out. I have to be a servant. I don't want to do those things. And so I can tell you, I left the church. It wasn't because of the reason that I said I left, because of an offense. But the real reason is that I didn't make that right decision when I was told that there was a calling of God on my life. And so I backslid. I went away from the church. And in 1995, I came to Wichita, and through a series of fortuitous events for me, I got a better job, and I met the woman of my dreams, who makes me a better person.
Amen.
But just a few months ago, as I was praying, God told me, he says, you know, that wasn't through your own strength. That wasn't all this time. I did really feel like I had done something, but God was orchestrating. Mm-hmm. He was saying, I'm going to put you where I want you.
Yes.
And so I just wanted to, there's been some traumatic things in my life, and not to go in depth, but I just wanted to go over a few of them, because it's obvious to me, looking back, that he certainly thought I wasn't worth throwing in the trash bin and starting back. I've been rear-ended by a dump truck that's lost its brakes, and God kept his hand on me. I've been broadsided by an 18-wheeler. And God kept his hand on me. When that car was finished, they had to put wheels under the wheels to make it roll, just to take it out of there. But God spared me. Amen. My heart function in a situation where a virus got into my heart got down to 12%. Mm-hmm. And they were saying that there was nothing that could be done except for a heart transplant.
Mm-hmm.
But my grandmother that I was talking about earlier, she and my mom on their knees and praying, and things turned around.
Yes.
And all of these things did not turn me back to church. I'm ashamed to say that, but it's the truth,
yes.
Right? That's not what turned me. What turned me was that my grandmother, she became sick, and they gave me a call, and they said, hey, you need to come. If you want to see her before she goes, you need to come. And so I came. And I just want to backtrack a second, is that my wife's introduction to my grandmother was kind of funny, because my grandmother never pulled any punches, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, as I already said, that she was a minister, to have a minister's license that long ago and be a female. But so every time she saw me, she'd call me by her nickname for me, and she'd say, why do you want to go to hell? That's what she'd say to me. And of course, you know, I respect my grandmother. I'm not gonna talk about it. That's grandma, absolutely. And so, but you know, grandma, I don't want to go. Then why are you doing what you're doing? And you know, I don't have an answer, right? And so it made for interesting car rides back home with my wife. Why, you know, it was obvious to my wife that my grandmother loved me very much. Mm-hmm. But why is she talking to you this way? Why is she? It you know, it should have been a reminder to me, hey, I need to be witnessing to my wife. Both of us need to come back.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I didn't. But back to the situation where, you know, my grandmother was sick. I got to see her one last time, and she did pass away. And this is around Memorial Day. And so the church where she was at was going to have a memorial service on that Sunday before they buried her after Memorial Day. And I'm thinking, oh, goodness. I hadn't been in a Pentecostal church in years. I know what's going to happen. I know that I'm going to go in there and oh, God, thunder and lightning. He's going to judge me. He's going to talk about all the terrible things. I just know there's going to be tons of interpretation. He's going to say, I'm going to hell. And this is just like my grandma said, right? Yeah. I'm like, oh, it's going to be all over again. And so I went, and sure enough, you know, there was a mighty move of God in that church service, and there it was, tongues and interpretation. And I'm like, you know, I'm thinking to myself, all right, I'm going to take this like a man.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm going to slink away into the night, you know, because he's going to tell me what a loser. And I know, God, I know I am.
Yeah.
But go ahead, give it to me. And what he says is, I love you so much that I will change your path. I will put myself in front of you however I can to show you how much I love you.
That's awesome.
I wasn't ready for that.
That's awesome.
I was ready for the condemnation, but I wasn't ready for his love.
Amen.
Right? And it just melted me. I couldn't help it.
Yeah.
I just,
amen.
And from that day on, I can't say that it's been smooth sailing back, but I mean, every day I'm striving to say, to hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant.
That's right.
Yeah.
Enter into the joy of the Lord.
Amen.
So, that's kind of my testimony, and I had to I wanted to talk a little bit about 1 Corinthians 12 and 13. 1 Corinthians 12 talks about spiritual gifts that are to be desired and how they function properly to become the body of the church. Amen. The hand is not more important than the eye or the liver or the ear.
That's right.
But I want to draw attention to the last verse of 1 Corinthians 12. It's verse 31. And I like to use the Amplified sometimes because I don't think it contradicts the King James, but it does expound some.
Yes, it does.
So just, it says, but earnestly desire and strive for the greater gifts, if acquiring them is going to be your goal. And yet I will show you a still more excellent way. One of the greatest choices and the highest of them all, unselfish love.
Yes.
I'm sure you know that the chapter breaks there were not in the original text, but they were put there by the translators. So really, there's no completion of thought between the end of chapter 12 and the beginning of chapter 13.
That's right.
So if you go to the chapter 13, verse 1, it says, if I speak with the tongue of men and angels and have not love. And then in Amplified, it expands on love. It says, for others, growing out of God's love for me. And I love the way it says that, right?
That's good.
It's love for others, that's growing out of God's love for me. Right. So like you said before, following, you know, we're going to follow his example, right?
Yes.
Then I become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. I'm just an annoying distraction.
That's right.
The footnote says the love is described as profound thoughtfulness and unselfish concern for others, other believers, regardless of the circumstances or station in life. I won't read that whole chapter, but what I did is I broke it down, and it talks about love, obviously, a lot, but it talks about what love is and what love is not.
Amen.
So I was just going to go through the list of what love is not first, because I want to end on the positive side of love. But and it was just interesting to me that your previous podcast talks about a lot of these things that love is not, right? What we're trying to avoid.
Right.
Love is not jealous.
Oh, he's not that's jealous.
It's not. That's true. It's not envious.
Yeah.
It's not. Love is not a bragger, or it's not proud. Love is not rude.
That's right.
It's not self-seeking. It's not overly sensitive or easily angered, and doesn't rejoice in injustice.
Amen.
Right. Those are the things that it's not. But what it is, it says love endures with patience and serenity.
Amen.
It's kind.
Amen.
It's thoughtful.
Amen.
It does not take an account to a wrong endured.
That's right.
It rejoices in truth. It bears all things regardless of what comes.
Amen.
It believes all things, looking for the best in everyone.
Amen.
It hopes all things and remains steadfast in difficult times. It endures all things without weakening. It never fails, fades, or ends.
That's awesome.
Praise God.
I didn't want to go. I love this chapter, but to get a heart of a servant, you have to love.
Amen.
You have to love what you're serving,
Amen.
Right? Or otherwise, you won't do it well.
That's right.
Right? Because, I mean, you can do it and go through the mechanics of it,
yes.
But to do it well, you have to love the That's thing right. that you're after.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
And the other verse that I was looking at when I was talking about this is Mark 12, 28 and 29. He's basically, they're trying to trick him up.
Yeah.
And they're asking him a question about what's the, you know, if you had to boil everything down, what's the most important thing?
Mm-hmm.
And of course, he always has an answer because That's he always right. does.
Mm-hmm. He does.
Right? And he quotes Deuteronomy 6, 4, and 5.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, one of the scribes came up and listening to them arguing and noticing that Jesus answered them all well, asked him, which commandment is the first and most important of all?
Mm-hmm.
Jesus answered, the first and most important one is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind,
Amen.
With all your strength.
Oh, yes.
This is the second. You shall, and now I'm going to take the amplified part here, you shall unselfishly love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these.
Amen. Mm. Amen.
Right? There is no mistake that the chief commandment from God is to love.
Amen.
If we are the parts of the body, as it notes in 1 Corinthians 12, then the circulatory system that sustains us is God's love for us and our love for others through him.
Amen.
Amen.
That is so true.
God, love will cause you to grow where you are planted.
Yes.
Love will cause you to try to see through others' eyes. Love will spur you on when you are tired.
Yes.
Love causes you to overlook wrongs, and love will cause you to pour yourself out.
Amen.
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 That's the end of that. I wanted to just talk a little bit about Sunday school, if you didn't mind.
Yes,
it's just close to my heart.
Amen.
And I don't know. I think Brother Nate, you might have an idea what I'm talking about. But it just rips me up sometimes. But when I started Sunday school, I didn't have a burden for that certain, you know, mm-hmm. as you were talking, yeah. you know, I didn't, but I knew I wanted to positively impact kids.
Right.
So as I got into a class, I prayed, God, would you just give me a burden for these kids, right? Mm-hmm. Would you lay on, put that on, and my goodness, he has. He mm-hmm. has, he's put there, and what he did is he put a love in my heart for them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, teaching Sunday school can be a minefield for your mm-hmm. heart, right? You never know if that Sunday is the last Sunday that you're going to see them. Most of those kids are picked up on buses, and they can be transient.
Yeah.
I try to remember their names, and I try to establish a bond between them. Yeah. I desperately want to get them to trust me so that I can teach them, and they will hear and understand the Word of God
Amen.
Before they are gone.
That's true.
I just want to make an impact before their chaotic lives pull them in another direction.
Right.
I wrote right. those words, but they're from the heart. I mean,
right.
I just...
That's right.
I feel so desperate, right? Right. Is this the last time I'm going to see, and I'm not going to name a real name, but mm-hmm. Susie or Nancy, right? Because I don't know where they're going to end up, mm-hmm. right? So I feel this urgency to reach them, to say, you know what? Jesus loves you. He's gonna find a way.
Amen.
We had the rally here, but right before we had the police officers here about a month ago,
mm-hmm.
and we were
mm-hmm.
taking our children
yes,
down there.
Yes.
And
yes.
And I had a little girl next to me, and she's a sweetheart. And she turned to me and she said, "I'm feeling kind of scared." And I said, "Well, what's going on? There's nothing to be scared of. What's happening?" And she said, "There's a bunch of police up there, and I don't know if I want to go over there."
Mm.
And I just thought about what's the environment there, right? That makes her feel that way.
Right.
I said, "Sweetheart, they're here to show you what they're going to do, how they can help you, and everything
yes.
else." And I'd gotten her to trust me enough that she calmed down. She's like, "Okay. That's fine," and she went. But just to come from that, to have the understanding, right? If you, how can you not have empathy for
right.
some
mm-hmm.
something
right.
like that? And I just wanted to share two other times, and not to make it a heartbreaking thing, but there's two girls that I've had in my class. The last time I saw them, right, they said something to me, and then I never got to see them again. And one of them was a girl that had some bruises on her, and so I started talking to her, right? What's mm-hmm. what's going on? What's
mm-hmm.
happening?
Mm-hmm.
Remember, these are 8-year-olds, right? Mm-hmm. These are not teenagers, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she had some bruises on her wrist, right? And I said, "Well, what happened?" She said, "Well, I slammed the drawer on my wrist." I said, "Why did you do that?"
Mm.
She said, "Well, I deserved it." And I'm thinking to myself, who makes someone feel that way?
Mm-hmm.
Who can turn a child to feel that way? And mm. I come to find out there was more things like that on her, and I had to, I had to report it. That's what I have to do. Right? Otherwise, you know, there's liability. But I never
right.
saw her again. And
right.
I know her name. She haunts me, right? Because I she'll be 13 this year,
mm-hmm.
right? And I just wish I could have reached her another way. The other one is a girl this year, right? She'd been to my class twice, and mm. After the second time, she came up to me and she says, "My daddy is gone. And he's mm. never coming back. Will you be my daddy?"
Wow.
And I said, "While you're in this class, I will definitely be your daddy.
Mm-hmm.
But can
That's
I
awesome.
Can I teach you about a daddy that will never leave you?
Amen.
He'll never forsake you.
Yes.
Yeah, let me teach you about Jesus.
Yeah.
Because sometimes I'm not going to be here, right? I'm
Amen.
Only seeing you once a week. But Jesus, he can give you peace.
Yes.
He can give you comfort when you can't get it from anywhere
yeah.
else.
Amen.
So not to bring it down or make it sad, but just to share my burden for those kids, right? It's just I love them with all my heart, and I thank God that he gave me the burden that he did.
Yeah, praise God.
That's awesome.
You know, as you was talking, you know, sometimes we don't know where we're sending these kids to. Once they leave us, you know, they come into an atmosphere, a church-fearing, God-fearing atmosphere, but then not knowing that they got to go back to hell when they leave the church.
That's right. Yeah.
You know?
And
yep. that's why it's very important to be an anointing so that whatever I got can rub off on you. So when you go into hell, you have the Spirit of God still dwelling upon you
Amen.
To face
Yeah.
whatever it is. That's the hope that we have,
that's
you know,
right.
because that's the only hope that they have.
That's right.
Is that God has sent me someone that is pouring into me.
That's right.
So when I go back home, no matter what situation or circumstances mm-hmm. I'm facing,
yeah.
I can face them because They built me up. They build me to face that.
Right.
Yeah. He spoke the words to me to allow me to overcome whatever I'm going through. Amen. At the house.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And one of the greatest weapons of the enemy is fear.
Yes.
He tries to put fear in you so you'll not move forward. But the Bible says, how do we overcome fear? We overcome fear with perfect love.
Perfect mm-hmm. love casteth out all
yes.
fear.
Yes. Perfect love casteth out fear. And if we don't have that perfect love, our love is not perfect, but there is a love that is perfect.
Yes. Jesus.
If we have His Holy, if we have the Holy Ghost in us,
yes,
that is going to make the love in us perfect. And we have the Holy Ghost, we can cast fear. We are able to rise up to situations. We're able to say, I'm going to rise up because I know whom I serve. That is a great testimony. And that is just one of the, when you were talking about your grandmother, that is just one of the great benefits of serving God.
Yes.
Because we don't know who we're affecting.
Mm-hmm.
We think that we're serving God because we want to be blessed. But you don't know. But you're serving God. But because of your service, your children, your grandchildren will reap the blessings.
Do you know that I felt very strongly, and this is obviously not in my notes, but that since I've got back into the church, I've prayed this specific prayer. I'm praying my grandmother's prayers. Every one of those prayers that are at the altar, I don't know exactly what they're up. But God said He stores our prayers of the saints up in a censure.
Yes.
Right. And I feel like, you know what? I'm going to carry that mantle. I'm going to pick that up. I'm going to pray. I don't know what they are, but they start to come to me. This what I feel like she was praying for, what she was praying for her family and what she wanted for her church. And I've told my mom that it's made her very emotional, but I want to do it. I don't want that to die. I want that to be a continuation for my children.
That's right.
And for whoever else that can be grafted in.
That's right. That's right. David, King David, he was very faithful to God. He served God with all his heart. And when he died, the generation, his children and his children's children, they all backslid.
Yeah.
But what did God tell them? Because of your father, David.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. I'm not going to destroy this.
Not yet.
Yes. So,
for his sake.
Being a servant, being close to God, has great benefits. It's not just going to affect our lives, but it's going to affect the lives of those whom you love. Your grandchildren to the fourth, how many generation, is going to affect their lives. We might think that we're just doing it for ourselves, but no. We don't know whom we are affecting and who else is going to reach the lost.
That's right.
But us. Candlestick is not made to be hidden under the bushel, but that light was made so that it will shine in the darkness.
That's right.
When God brought us out, He put Himself in us to be a light where we are, to be a love to those who have not felt love. I love it when Pastor Scott spoke about his testimony. About, I think you spoke about this and you shared this in our podcast when Pastor Scott, there was this kid in Sunday school.
Oh yeah.
You talked about it, remember?
Well, he was Pastor Scott said there was a kid that was known for getting in trouble. I'm pretty sure we was there. He was known for getting in trouble and he was on his last strike by getting kicked out of church.
Yes.
When Pastor Scott came up to the little kid and asked him, "Do you mind if I give you a hug?" And the little kid looked up at him and he said, "Okay," and he gave him a hug. And from that moment on, like, he was a changed kid.
Yeah.
We don't realize how much love can affect somebody, especially if the only love they're getting is somebody yelling and beating them and screaming at them and hitting them. And, you know, and it's hard to say it, but that's, I know the Bible says chastisement those who you love, but it don't say beat them.
No, not you know? Beating, yeah.
I believe in beating kids. I mean, not beating. I believe in whooping kids. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Chastisement, discipline.
Yes.
Yes, discipline is the right word.
But I believe there's an overdoing it, and I believe sometimes it's a fact that, you know, people is doing it because of their own selfish hate, rage, spirits inside of them.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because for a moment, we was having a lot of issues with people killing kids and choking little babies and all that. That's a spirit of violence. Yeah. That's a spirit
there's
of
no
hate.
Love in there.
Yeah.
There's no Jesus.
Yeah, there's no Jesus in that. Yeah. And half the time, most kids just literally needs to be in a surrounding where they can actually know where what true love is.
That's right. Absolutely.
And if you're not able to give your kid true love, well, maybe you need to be in a place where you can learn.
That's right.
Because you're going to have to raise this kid.
Right.
And if you feel like, because that's half of them, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know. Well, you need to get to a place.
Amen.
And what a better place than church.
Amen. That's
what
right.
What does it say in the Bible? It says, what is a greater love than this, than a friend?
Greater love is this? Than a brother lay his life for a friend.
Lay his life
for a friend. I call you friend.
Yeah. You know, my thing is, people don't realize how much this Bible actually means to them.
Yes.
They're not taking the opportunities, the doors that God has given them. Instead, they're just playing. They're playing it's me, or what do you call that? Do people say don't be a victim? They're playing a victim.
Yeah.
Every time they want to play a victim, you're not a victim because God has made a way.
That's right.
God just said, just do it my way. He made ways. In this Bible, he wrote commandments. He gave you promises. He gave you secret scriptures to help you to prosper, to be blessed, and to overcome. He said to give you ways to, there's wars coming. Get ready for the war.
Right.
And what are you doing? You're sitting back being a victim, and God is saying that the only what's going to happen to a victim is hell.
Mm-hmm.
You thinking that God is going to be like, oh, you've been through a lot. I know why you didn't fight. I know why you didn't care. I know why you didn't love. No, God is going to be like, get away from me.
Yes.
I gave you the plan.
Right.
I gave you me.
That's right.
Believe in me.
That's right.
I was going to give you the comfort. I was going to speak to you.
Amen.
You know?
Yeah. Him whom the Son sets free
is free indeed.
When God brought the Israelites out of Egypt, he didn't say, oh, you're still slaves.
Yeah.
He freed them. But they had that mentality that we are still slaves.
Spirit.
I agree that it was a culture. It was a spirit.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's right. You were talking about 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity. This three. But the greatest of this is charity. And what is the other word for charity?
Love.
Praise God. As we ponder upon these things, you said it so clearly. Without love, we're just gongs, like clanging cymbals, empty. You know what happened to a drum that is empty? You bang it, it is so loud. Put love in it, quiet it down.
That's fantastic, Brother Oscar.
And
I wish I had a thought of it.
We serve a master that loves us no matter who we are. It doesn't matter how bad you think you did, how deep in sin you might think you are. God loves us. I love it when you share that testimony. You were waiting for a condemnation to come.
I was.
But that
I
is
knew
not
it was
God.
Coming.
Yeah. But that's not the ways of God.
Yeah.
The ways of God is that, I love it. The Bible says, I did not come to the world to condemn the world. Mm. But, praise God.
But through him, that the world might be saved.
That's right.
Yes. Yeah.
He didn't come here to condemn us of our sins. He didn't come to say, oh, you sinned. That is the enemy who condemns. But God says, I know you sinned, but I have a better way for you. We just had this youth rally about the violence. And why we're having this violence is that our kids think that they don't have a choice. But we're here to say, you have a choice. You can choose to follow Christ and reap his benefits and be blessed by the blessings that come from above. You may think that I don't have it all together. Just like my brother said, if you think that you're confused and everything, but when you start to serve, God is going to pour himself onto you and you will have that peace and you don't know where God is going to be taking you. And so, as we close, I'm going to ask our brother to pray a closing prayer.
you, Brother Oscar. Dear Lord, I pray for my brothers, Brother Oscar and Brother Nate. I pray that you strengthen and enrich their ministry. I pray for the spirit of unity in our church. Let us grow in wisdom and love and power. I pray you can reach those that I have been made accountable for. I pray that the burden that you had given me never lifts. I pray that our buses bring every lost soul that is hungry and searching for healing from hurting abuse. I pray that you fill with the Holy Ghost, not just my Sunday school class, but every class in my church. Let that same spirit overflow to our city and to all that listen to this podcast. And I will give you the praise and the glory for everything that you give us. In the name of Jesus' name.
Amen. And so we thank you, and we hope that by our testimonies and by what God has given us, it will give you strength to move forward. It will give you strength. It will light the fire in you to continue to be a servant for God. And so from Bernie, my brother Doc, until the next time we see you again, always remember, this is that. God bless you all.
Well, there you go, my friends. We hope that you were blessed by the sharing of the word, and we pray that God would continue to bless you and guide you as we journey together towards the calling wherewith we were all called. And we hope you enjoyed our table talk, and please don't forget to click on that like button, to share, to subscribe to This Is That on your favorite podcast. And also find us on YouTube at Call to Ministry. Just click on This Is That video link. Until we meet again, continue to stay strong in the Lord. And as we continue to move together in the apostolic, always remember that this is that. God bless you all.